Learning how to be people smart is learning how to get some charisma and have this attitude by which people want to follow who you are in the Lord. Now, the subject of charisma is something that has been discussed for generations and for centuries. All the way back to some of the early writers, the quality of charisma is something that has been talked about. So we're going to talk about charisma today. We're going to continue using Roger Ailes, and he's going to look at how the world would see charisma, and we're going to also focus that certain quality that also comes from God in ministry. What is charisma? Now, charisma is a powerful but often misunderstood word. It derives from the Greek charisma, meaning favor or divine gift. Its root is charis, which means grace. So when you meet a charismatic, in that sense, person with charisma, there's a certain element of grace and something by which you see them and you're interested to listen to what they say. In ministry, as we strive to grow in our people smart skills for ministry, we have to talk about charisma. The fact is, every leader wants to be or to have charisma. In the modern sense, which the English dictionary defines as a special, inspiring quality of leadership. Some people seem to have charisma naturally. Others have to work hard to achieve it. Some have it in person, but lose it in other places. So as we look at this, we're going to ask ourselves, where are we at and what can we do to increase in charisma? Charisma is personal confidence as opposed to job confidence. Just the sense that someone knows what he or she is doing. Charisma is comfort. It's the ability to never appear uncomfortable. So charisma is something, as a Christian leader, in our walk with God, that's a quiet confidence. It's that we're connected to our mission, our calling. It's really the ability to subtly cause others to react to you as opposed to you reacting to them. People with charisma seem to be in charge of their life. They seem to have a goal, a purpose, a direction, in fact, a mission. Now, this is what Roger Ailes says, and he writes this for the general audience. But as Christians, we in fact do have a goal. We have a purpose. We have direction. We have a mission. As a Christian leader, you have a calling. So the understanding of charisma is something that each of us can relate to. So how do you get charisma? Well, I want to ask you, what do you believe in? Do you have a goal? Do you have goals or a mission in life? Do you project optimism? Do others turn to you for leadership? Non-charismatic people spend their lives auditioning for others and hoping they'll be accepted, Roger Ailes says. Charismatic people, and this is not charismatic in the church, the charismatic church, I'm not using the spiritual term we do for churches here. It's that term of charisma. So charismatic people don't doubt their ability to add value in a situation. They move forward with their mission. So getting charisma is something that's deep. And yes, it could, by the way, be in the charismatic church. So I just want to be clear about this word. How we're using it in this is that people's smart sense of charisma. So in order to control your environment with being a leader, Roger Ailes talks about the need to control the atmosphere. Control of the atmosphere is control of the time and space you work in. When you control the atmosphere, you are not operating on other people's time. Now, I want to be very careful about this. He does not mean that you're late to work. He does not mean that you don't have your responsibilities. No, you have an internal motivation. So when you are at work, you're giving leadership in what you do. When you're in ministry, this is especially true. No one is really watching your time. Many times you have a board, but not some supervisor. Sometimes you have a supervisor, but you're internally controlling your atmosphere, so to speak. You set your own rate of speed for saying things. You pause and pace your rate of speaking for maximum impact. In other words, you're really careful about how you phrase things. And you have no fear of silence, on the other hand. You allow people to talk, and if it's silent, it's okay. You're not reacting to or feeling inhibited by physical space or people. You use gestures. You move effectively, assertively, when and how you please, whether behind a lectern or a pulpit, or, as he calls it, on the factory floor, or just mingling one-on-one with people at a gathering, a small group gathering, a party, whatever. Your attitude is just feeling that comfortable sense inside your own skin, as we talk about it in America. You use your eyes. You show a range of emotions. You modulate your voice with purpose. Not like a shotgun scattered all over the room. You look directly into people's eyes, and you use your voice and eyes like a rifle. So you're focused in who you are. In a room of one, I'll say, or 30 or 50 or even 100 people, you pick out anyone you want to talk to, and boom, you can direct your voice and your eyes to them. Vocally and with your eyes, you can express a range of emotions, including amusement, excitement, and even anger, where appropriate. All these abilities are included in the control of atmosphere. So, controlling your atmosphere. Now, we have to be careful as Christians that we're not using these techniques to manipulate, to control in a way of the bad sense of the word, where we're micromanaging, that we have some sinister plot. No, it's about stepping into a room and having that confidence. You do have to look strong, confident, grounded in God, happy with yourself. You must convey your thoughts and show your feelings with conviction. Humor helps, of course. The ability to not always respond in a predictable manner helps too. But all this means taking risks, and a lot of people don't want to do that. So here you are learning charisma, and you're trying to understand it and try to grow in it. If you're properly controlling the atmosphere, you're projecting a likable fearlessness without arrogance. The ability to do that consistently will take you beyond charisma, as Roger Ailes says, that you have a presence to you that someone will want to follow. Control of the atmosphere does not necessarily mean that you're doing all the talking. In fact, if you learn to ask interesting questions, you can control the topics which are discussed while at the same time opening up the listener and allowing him or her to communicate with you. So when you control the atmosphere, it's about bringing the presence of God in every atmosphere that you come in contact with. Now, as we're growing in charisma, here's maybe a good question. Are you a thermostat or a thermometer? According to the late motivational speaker Zig Ziglar, leaders are thermostats. They set the right temperature in a room. Non-leaders are thermometers. They go up and down according to the conditions they think are outside their influence. So here's the question. Are you a thermostat or thermometer? Now, let's talk about how to become that person who brings that charisma to every place that person goes. Well, here's one principle. Never be charismatic, have charisma to one group and not the other group. Be the same person to whether someone is rich or poor, whether someone is healthy or strong or sick, whether you even like someone or do not like someone. People who control the atmosphere don't change according to who's in the room. They are aware of the interests of the audience. That is the person God has brought into their life. But if they're at Windsor Castle, they don't grovel before the queen, nor do they talk down the gardener or the shoeshine man. They act comfortably, pretty much the way they would in the living room, no matter who they're with. So as we develop these gifts of charisma, it's not that we turn it on and turn it off. It's always on because it's always who we are. Now, as Christians, how do we get charisma? The bottom line is, are you a called person? We've talked about that in the Getting Started class at Christian Leaders Institute, where we explored calling. Called Christian leaders are beyond charisma because it's not some act. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about his calling in Philippians 3:14, he said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I loved reading this in the Greek, because in the Greek you have the intensity. You can see the charisma. I press on toward the goal. You know, you see the calling that the Apostle Paul to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As we walk around, do we like have that buzz inside our heart that everything we do is to glorify God toward the heavenly prize? So, to get charisma and to move in that, so much of charisma is our attitude. So, let's talk a little bit about an attitude test. This sort of gets at how we develop those building blocks of charisma. What I'd like you to do is to assess yourself and have someone else assess you, your spouse or a friend, a mentor, somebody else to sort of help you see the truth about where you are in your attitudes, where you are and how you're perceived by people. So here's the first question. How good are you at confronting other people directly when there's a problem without biasing the confrontation in a negative manner? Now, this is huge in ministry, because you will be solving problems, or helping, I should say, be better, to help bringing peace and solutions to many, many people who come into your life. And sometimes you just have to lay the truth on the table. How good are you at dealing with sometimes truths or problem solving that someone won't necessarily agree with you at first? Now, that's an important thing. So as you're talking to someone, do you have that I love you attitude? I care about you. I'm concerned about your welfare. I see there's hope in every situation because Christ is Lord in every situation. So how good are you at that? We work closely with peacefire.net, and one of the things that peacefire.net talks about is bringing peace. God is at work. Christ is at work in every situation. So here's an attitude. How good are you at doing this? Second thing, how often do you give excuses for things that go wrong? Do you pass the buck or blame others? Well, you'll find that so much in counseling. You know, somebody will come in and whether it's a marriage counseling or a family counseling or it's financial counseling, or they'll come to you as a pastor for many reasons, but part of it's very much spiritual. Or they'll come to you because they don't feel close to God. Now, it's fascinating how so much of the discussion is excuses, why it's not happening. But as a leader, we can have excuses too. You know, that sermon wasn't that great because, well, we didn't have time because basically we're doing this, this, and this. Now, that's not to say that there's an appropriate use of time. But when we think as for excuses, why things go wrong, and first not ask the question, what can I do to bring peace, to bring good work ethic? How can I take responsibility? But are you often one who brings excuses up? Here's another one. Are you a self-starter? Are you too passive? Or are you an active self-starter every day? You know, being in the ministry, much of what you do will be motivated by what God has for you that day. Are you someone who gets up and gets right to it in the morning? Or are you basically reacting to, okay, I've got to show up at this time, do my work, and go home? Do you gossip, spread rumors, create problems among the workforce? I have consulted with pastors over 30 years, and many times I have seen that pastors create leaders, Christian leaders, can create dissension in churches where they pit some church members up over against another. Or if you're a bivocational leader, and are you someone who basically creates drama? Because if you are, that is something that will take away your charisma. Charismatic people in this sense do not create drama. 5, how well do you communicate with your fellow employees or fellow church members or friends or family, both in giving information and receiving information? Are you transparent about where you're at? Hey, I just got done with that project. This is what it is. Check it out if you're interested. Or you talk about some of your things. Hey, I'm having a struggle with this right here. Do you have any insights? Sometimes we get into our little cocoons, our little like silos, and in the process, we're not communicating. How are you at teamwork, helping others, pitching in, supporting the staff? You know, likable and charismatic people always have time to give an encouragement and helping others, give a compliment, give an insight that another person does not have. Are you a person who brings other people up or drags them down emotionally? What is your general enthusiasm level? Now, we've all seen them. People who come into a room and emotionally drain everybody else. If they're having a bad day, everybody knows it. If they're offended, everybody knows they're offended. If they don't like something, they let it be known. Well, as a pastor, this is something that can bring you down. If you have an attitude that everything is bad in the church you're serving or in the ministry you're at, it will not be long when people won't even want to talk to you. The fact of the matter is sin is in every single person's life. It's in every church. It's in every ministry. It's involved, and that's why we have such a beautiful opportunity in the gospel. So there are going to be problems. So no matter where we are, we have that enthusiasm that God is at work. And even when our own issues are developed, where maybe we're not feeling so great in the day, remember that it's just not about us. 8, do you accept criticism gracefully, neither overreacting or underreacting, but using the best of it to improve? I mean, this is a crucial piece of ministry. To me, ministry is this wonderful adventure where we keep growing and growing in our following of Christ Jesus and being a leader and coming into every atmosphere. And we want to keep growing and get better and better and better without taking things personal when we have to improve. You know, charisma, to be charismatic in the people smart sense of the word, is not something that we should run away from. We should continue to grow because ultimately we want to be people of grace. Called leaders who have someone to care about, who serve our Lord Jesus Christ, who have a message to proclaim, that people look at us and they want to follow us because they sense in us that we've seen our Lord in our hearts and in our minds, that the Word directs our life, that the joy of salvation is in us. People want to be around those kind of people. And you know what? I want to be that kind of a person too. Because I know as I am grounded in God and I know that I am living a called life, I know the joy of the adventure of leading others to our Lord Jesus Christ.